Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Nick Ferguson, Tyler Palumbis, and D-Back.
Lined up to Rivers right, lifts his right leg, hands in front of his chest, takes the snap. He's back with Bowie, looks to his left. Now Rivers goes down the middle, intercepted again. Across the 50 to the 45, far sideline 40 is Harris again. Down to the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Raiders. Eric Harris picks it off and takes it in. Matt goes in motion from right to left. Rivers will hand it off to Gordon straight ahead along the right hash, driving towards the goal line, and he is in for the Charger touchdown. Carr takes the snap. He'll hand off Jacob straight ahead across the 15. Breaks a tackle. 10 across the 5. End zone. Touchdown Raiders. Josh Jacobs explodes up the middle for an 18-yard touchdown run. And with 1:02 to go, the Raiders have taken the lead. Oakland 26. Chargers 24.
Well, there you have it. Oakland Raiders walked away with the big win in what turned out to be a really fantastic football game on Thursday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers. Beat him 26-24. Nick, who'd you have in that game?
Well, at first, before we left, I chose the Raiders. Mm. And then I asked you, I said, well, who are you taking? And you were not really sure. And then after that, yeah, okay, so you knew. But I was like, ooh, who do I take in this game? And then I said, you know what? The Chargers played a great game against Green Bay. They made it life miserable for Aaron Rodgers. So I said, well, maybe they can put back-to-back games together. So I decided to go with the Chargers.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there.
Big mistake.
I'm sitting
Big
there
mistake.
Watching the game on the last drive, and I'm frustrated. My wife is asking me, well, I mean, why you have so much vested in this game? I mean, they're not the Broncos. But I'm like, last week I bottomed out as far as on our pick'ems.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to happen. I'm starting off the week pretty bad with an L.
Well, yeah, big mistake. Whenever you select the biggest enigma in maybe the history of the NFL for the last 10 straight seasons, the Los Angeles Chargers continue to be up and down 1 week. You're right. Holy cow. I mean, how good did they look against the Packers last week? Phillip Rivers was balling last week. Phillip Rivers couldn't throw the ball within a 5-yard radius last night of his wide receivers at times. It is amazing how good he can be at times and how bad he can look at times.
Well, that was the first time, I mean, all season long. I know he's been up and down. That's the worst game I've ever seen Phillip Rivers play. I mean, 3 interceptions, but it should have been more if the Raiders could stop holding and jumping off sides. I'm thinking maybe 6 interceptions he could have ended the game with. And I'm watching Phillip Rivers, and what I decided to do got to a certain point, Tyler, in the game where I just closed my eyes and I just listened to the broadcast. And for a second, it sounded like I was watching a Broncos game, because every time I'm listening to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, they're saying that, oh, there he goes. Phillip Rivers is under pressure again. I'm thinking, like, that was Joe Flacco for the first part of the season.
Hold on. Do you really close your eyes and just listen to the broadcast when you're watching football?
Well, no, that was the first time I've ever did
that. Was that a figure of speech, or did you really do that?
No, I did that because, like,
you get weirder every day.
Yeah, no, I don't call it weird. I call it being very, very unique.
It's kind of weird.
No, yeah,
no, that's pretty weird.
Nobody
closes their eyes when they're watching television.
You've never done that in watching.
I mean,
anything.
I blinked.
Okay.
I blinked before.
But
yeah.
You never close your eyes and say, you know, I just want to absorb all the sounds. You've never done that before.
Like maybe if I was like out in nature and like trying to, I don't know, like have a Zen moment.
Okay, well, try this.
I usually don't have to try to get Zen moments in the middle of a football game.
Have you ever done this with scary movies? Just turn down the volume and just watch the movie like that?
No. Why are you even watching the movie if you're not listening to it?
Well, see, because it's the creepy music that makes the movie scarier. So I'm like, I'm going
to
cut out the
video. Aren't you watching a scary movie to get scared?
Well, yeah, I am, but I don't want to be that scared. I just turned the volume down.
Oh, man, you're weird.
You've never done that before?
You know what? The real story of the night last night, it was Derek Carr, man. Derek Carr. Raiders get up early. They let the Chargers back into the game. Phillip Rivers goes down and leads what looks to be a game-winning touchdown. Leaves, about 3 minutes, 2 minutes left on the clock, and then Derek Carr takes over, goes right back down the field, just launching lasers, looking like Derek Carr of MVP form from when, 3 years ago?
What, 2016? Was it 2016?
I think it was 3 seasons ago.
Okay.
When he was a legit MVP candidate. He looked like it again. I mean, I'm not calling him an MVP, but man, that guy is playing good football right now. And Nick, what was my hot take yesterday?
What was it? Remind me.
No, you remind me. I'm testing you to see how much you're listening.
Well, you got me on that one.
On the Oakland Raiders.
I can't recall.
See, I knew you don't listen when I talk. I knew you don't listen.
You were talking about the Raiders and you were building
sometimes. Sometimes I look at you and I'm talking and I'm like, are you listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You know what happened? It turns into Charlie Brown. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I came up with a hot take last night that I said, nobody's going to like me for this. Nobody's
going
to like me for it.
Raiders going to the playoffs.
Well, not only are the Raiders going to the playoffs, but, I mean, if it weren't for Kyle Shanahan and the job that they're doing, when this season is all said and done, John Gruden could be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. You look at the schedule, the remaining games that the Raiders have, and 6 of their final 8 games are extremely winnable football games. This team could be winning 10-plus games this year, going to the playoffs, and John Gruden all of a sudden went from that crazy dude that traded away Khalil Mack, that crazy dude that that brought on AB, that crazy dude that handled him way too long and then dumped him right before the season began, and all of a sudden he could be in the conversation for one of the best coaches of the season this year.
I don't doubt that based on what he's been able to do, but I think – that award is definitely going to go to San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan if they continue to do what they're doing. Now, San Francisco, they have a tough stretch in the back half of their schedule, but here's what I love about what John Gruden has done. I mean, everyone, me included, looked at him like he was losing his mind when he traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears. But just look on the game last night. I know you were talking about Derek Carr and how well he played and that being a storyline. I mean, look at the contributions that he's getting from Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Right? A fourth round guy.
Terrible tattoos.
Oh, I'm not going to critique him on his tattoos.
Oh, no. No. That dude is way too rich to have tattoos that looked like his third grader drew it on him.
It may have some sentimental value because it's probably his boy from college probably did that.
Bad tattoos. Cover him up.
No, but he was playing lights out. He was constantly harassing Phillip Rivers. And then you look at Furrow, the guy they took in the first round out of Clemson. I mean, it just seemed like every time the ball was snapped, it was like he was shot out of a rocket. And he was constantly in the backfield. And it was amazing to see that, you know, John Gruden was able to get these guys collectively to play together in a short period of time when everyone was saying, well, we were expecting this organization to just kind of fold. I mean, you have Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict, who was suspended, but what they finally just kind of realized and got those guys to galvanize and rally behind one another, and you lose AB with all of his antics, and it's like, well, where's the offense going to come from? And Tyrell Williams was the only option at wide receiver. You know, come along Hunter Renfrow from Clemson. I mean, they were talking about him so much last night that you would have thought that he was a top draft choice, but that's what I like about what they're doing in Oakland right now. They're getting, you know, production from guys who were drafted in the later rounds.
Well, the way that their defense was starting to come on, and by the way, Cleveland Farrell, all of a sudden he showed up, looked like he had some life. Their first round pick that everybody was calling him crazy for had a very nice game. I tell you what, the Raiders, I'll be very interested to see what happens when they play the Chiefs. I don't think they have enough talent to beat the Chiefs. But the Chiefs are so one-dimensional. Man, I don't know. The Raiders could make some noise this year. I think they're going to the playoffs. Are they a playoff team?
Well, at this point, especially after the win last night, yeah, they're definitely a playoff team. Had you told me that early in the season, I would have said that you were the weird one, you know, instead of me being the weird one. But no, I mean, he has them playing great ball at the right time. And that's the most important thing, is that no matter how you started the season, it's like, are you getting healthy? And are you getting production from your players at the right point part of the season? And he's definitely doing that with his guys.
Man, John Gruden. Think about how crazy this was. Just think about the last couple of years. This guy's not in coaching. How many years was he out of coaching? Six? Seven? More than that?
More than that.
More than that?
I would say maybe 8 years he was out of coaching.
I mean, he was out of the league forever. The game evolved. It changed. And when the Raiders hired John Gruden, man, I thought they were nuts. I did. I mean, how the heck is this guy going to know how to coach today's NFL? The game has evolved. It has changed. And honestly, what did he ever really do with Tampa? I know he got a Super Bowl. I know. But I mean, really, that was one heck of a football team that he won the Super Bowl with, right? And so I thought they were nuts. And then he comes out and he trades away Khalil Mack. He's got a ton of interesting personnel decisions. By the way, Mike Mayock comes out of the TV booth. So now you've got two TV guys running a football team. How's that going to work out, right? Well, it turns out, maybe they know what the heck they're doing.
Well, obviously they do. And these are the two guys who were kind of put together that we had the biggest question marks about whether they were going to be able to get it done. And Mike Mayock, I mean, for years, he's been a top-notch, you know, talent evaluator. So I knew he was going to do a great job in that regard. But like you said, could John Gruden find a way to gel with today's player, bringing some of that old-school type of mentality? And looking at what we're seeing right now, I mean, the Raiders are 5-4. I mean, they're game back of the Chiefs. So he's doing something right. If there was an alternative award that you can give to a coach and say, well, most improved coach, that's an award that you can give to John Gruden.
Where's Phillip Rivers at?
I mean, he's on the downside of his career, man, and it was hard for me to watch that because I've competed against Phillip Rivers, you know, for most of my career, but to watch him, you know, play the way that he played last night, it doesn't seem as though it's an injury that's causing a problem. But he seems like a shell of himself. Watching some of the passes that he was trying to throw to Keenan Allen and the other receivers, he was overthrowing these guys.
I know, he was, huh?
Yeah, and he has that awkward throwing motion. And I was thinking, well, maybe that is now presenting an issue for him now with things changing as far as the defense. But he doesn't look the same. There's no Kim Wisenhunt. The chemistry that was supposed to be there wasn't there. They tried to rely heavily on the running game with Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon. That seemed to kind of move the chains. But in this league, you have to have balance, and you have to be able to throw the ball. And with Phillip Rivers' contract expiring at the end of the year, I mean, do you think that the Chargers and Dean Spanos, they would be willing to give him a two-year extension?
They got a tough decision on their hands. You know, Phillip Rivers is 38 years old. Health-wise, it looks like he's healthy enough to continue to go for a handful of more seasons. And quite frankly, Phillip has been just a total microcosm of the Chargers as a whole, right? I mean, sometimes he looks incredible, looks elite. Even this season, he's had moments where he looks elite. And I'm thinking to myself, man, they got no choice but to extend him. And other times, he's been off. His accuracy has been way, way off. Did you see that last pass that he threw an interception on?
Yes.
Dude, he had his eyes closed before he ever even released the ball. Did you see that?
Yes, but he also, I guess I understand why he closed his eye, because there was a hand in his face.
I know, but still, I mean, you just launched the ball about 60 yards with your eyes closed, you know? I mean, don't you kind of want to know where you're throwing the football?
Well, yeah, you want to know where you're throwing it, but when you're under constant duress, as though he was from the outset of that game, he never really got comfortable in the pocket. It was every throw seemed like it was a rush throw. And when you're rushing throws, you have a tendency not to read the defense properly and overthrow balls. And the secondary, we love that. Tips and overthrows, got to get those. That's what we're thinking. But that goes back to,
I hear you, DQ, yes. Pete Carroll.
Yeah. that's who.
Where'd that come from?
Well,
that came from your time in Seattle. That's where that came from.
Well, twice. It came from my time in Seattle and with the 49ers. So it was
because Kyle took it from
exactly.
DQ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is true, though, man. Tips and overthrows. You got to get those. I mean, those are the easiest interceptions you can come by.
Yeah.
How fun are Seattle DQ type of team meetings?
You know, I was pleasantly surprised at what I saw in Seattle because I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
You had experience from a personal standpoint, but it was only after the Seahawks defeated the Broncos in the Super Bowl that I called Maurice Kelly, who we both know, and I said, listen, man, I want to come and sit around the team and Pete Carroll and see what you guys are doing. And seeing that environment that Pete has created, and it's not just the Legion of Boom, which is no more. You still have that team still elevating its level of play because that culture has already been built in. And that was something that I was exposed to. So I love the culture. I love what Dan Quinn introduced in Atlanta. I love what Kyle is doing with the 49ers right now. It would be great to have some kind of mixture of that culture here with the Denver Broncos.
Texters are killing me already on the Ramos Law text line. Maybe he closed his eyes just to listen to the defense.
Hey, you know, at that point with the hand in your face, that's all you can do. Maybe, you know, hope that you can kind of through telepathy guide the ball to the receiver. But it didn't work out.
Yeah, apparently it didn't work out. Anyways, Raiders get a big win, 26-24 on Thursday Night Football. All right, joining us now is a former teammate of mine at the University of Colorado, Brian Daniels. We came in together as freshmen at CU. He had a tremendous career at the University of Colorado, went on to play a few years for the Minnesota Vikings. And this weekend, Brian and his wife, Emily, whom I went to high school with as well, actually, they will be honorary captains up at the Colorado versus Stanford game. Brian, why don't you just take a quick second here to kind of set the scene on what's going on in your life and your wife's life and what's happening this weekend.
Yeah, no, perfect. Thanks, Tyler. And I think actually you may have introduced me to Emily, which is like
is that right?
A really small world.
I don't even remember that.
I know. Well, I appreciate the time. So I think Emily was diagnosed back in February of last year. And it was it came out of the blue. I think she was pregnant with our second child. She developed some discomfort in her chest, and she went to the ER kind of begrudgingly. She was actually supposed to travel for work that day, and turns out they found a mass. And you know, a handful of tests later, you get diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Which,
yeah, man,
I mean, it takes everybody by shock. I think because, you know, for one reason or another, lung cancer has a very distinct stigma associated with it, that it's just a smoker's disease and that older people get it, but it's not. So, you know, and I think it was a big blow when she was diagnosed. We kind of went through the natural progression of things. Okay, where's the best place in the world to go get treated? I think, you know, we had the means to do that, and we wanted to find out where to go. And we had looked around and kind of tapped our network, and we found out that University of Colorado Health right here in Denver has arguably the best thoracic oncology doctors and program in the world. So we're extremely lucky to be here. And she's been with Dr. Cambridge there now for 2 years. And through a lot of kind of next generation testing, she's been on a series of targeted therapies, which frankly is just a pill form of treatment that has kept her stable kind of on and off now for 2 years. So I think we're blessed to have them in our backyard. And I think we're blessed that, you know, to have such an amazing resource right here.
But Brian, I'm just listening to the situation with you and your wife, and I'm definitely inspired by the strength of both of you guys. I mean, what does it mean for you guys to go back to your alma mater and you're going to be, you know, team captains? What does it mean for you guys?
It's great. I think, you know, I've loved University of Colorado football since I can remember. I've always been going to games. I got the chance to play there. Got the chance to be a captain there. And I owe a lot to the University of Colorado. I got my education there. I met my wife there. And then now it's come full circle. And you know, as part of the research institution, UCH, we get to have amazing doctors at our fingertips right here in our backyard. We don't have to travel to, you know, the Sloan Ketterings of the world or the other, you know, kind of name brand cancer institutions. We have one right here. So it means a lot. It's going to be a great day, and I'm excited to get up there and watch the Buffs and get my two young children up there. They've been a few times, and they're excited to go tomorrow.
What is the best way for people to be involved? I know you guys are raising money, and how should people best support the cause?
Great. I would recommend going to linksforlungs.com. Linksforlungs.com. Emily and I have had a golf tournament two consecutive years in a row, and there's a donate section right on there. That 100% of those funds get donated to the Emily Daniels Foundation at UCH, which funds Lung Cancer Colorado Fund. And, you know, I'm really proud of the work that I think, you know, Emily and the community of people that have supported us have done. I think Lung Cancer Colorado Fund's been around for 10 years now, raised a little over $1 million. I think just in the last 2 years, our fund has contributed almost $350,000 to that. So it's an awesome cause, but I would recommend people go to linksforlungs.com.
All right. Well, everybody, please do go to linksforlungs.com. Please support the cause. These are incredible people, and it's an incredible cause. Before I let you go, though, I do have to tell one story. Brian and I are the exact same age. We grew up just across town from each other. He went to Mullen High School. I went to Cherry Creek High School. He was the big dog in the state, and I was kind of that other guy. I was kind of that other offensive lineman, right? And, you know, Brian was seriously like the number one recruit in this stay far and away, and but we both committed to see you, and so I was always kind of a little bit jealous of Brian. You know, I was always a little bit aware of Brian, and we were playing him in basketball after our senior season of football, and so we're at Mullen High School, Nick, and every single time I touched the ball, the entire Mullen crowd would just and this they're referencing football during a basketball game. But they would all just started chanting, "Brian's better. Brian's better." And every single time I touch the ball, and to this day, Brian, I can still picture you. You were in that crowd, just so you know. And I can still picture you and your little smug face every single time somebody would start chanting that. And I'm pretty sure I airballed about three shots in that game because I was trying to show off.
Well, there's a reason that I didn't play basketball, and that's because I was terrible at it. So I was probably in the wrestling room over there somewhere else. But
yeah.
Oh, man.
Brian, hey, man. Really happy to connect with you. We are trying to some way, somehow figure out how to get up to the game tomorrow. We're trying to figure out some logistics. So hopefully we can run into you, and I hope you guys have just an absolutely great time.
Great. I really appreciate you guys letting us come on air and share the story. We appreciate it.
All right, well, that was my former teammate, great guy, great dude, Brian Daniels of the University of Colorado. Stay in touch with the cause, guys. It's a huge deal. It affects more people than you know in ways that you never thought that they personally could get affected. So please get in touch with the cause. Coming up next, we got the countdown.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Countdown. Here's The Drive with Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
Former NFL player and Hall of Famer Deion Sanders has somehow found a way to emerge as a legitimate candidate for the open Florida State football head coaching job. This is coming per Ian Rappaport. How you feeling about Primetime taking over as head coach as the Seminoles?
I like it. Willie Taggart was relieved of his duties, and when you could bring in the guy who is familiar with the program, he's kind of a ring of fame, if you will, for Florida State. It bodes well because Sanders has coached high school football. He's coached his two sons. So he's not coming into this blindly. But my only question would be, okay, the fact of hiring other coaches. That would be an issue for me. But a big name, he can walk into any living room like Nick Saban, say, hey, listen, I'm prime time. Do you want to come to Florida State? We have an opportunity. We want to win some championships. And I think any kid in these United States would say, sign me up.
Oh, I have no doubt that he could recruit. I mean, I can't imagine any 18-year-old kid having prime time walk into his living room, sit down with him and his mom and dad, and not be impressed, not want to go play for him. You know he's got charisma. You know he's got energy. All that being said, I think it's a terrible idea.
You said all, you gave all that information, then you say it's a terrible idea?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Because high school football's got nothing to do with being able to coach in the NFL.
No, I mean,
and, I mean, seriously, this guy's never coached. He's never coached.
Well, he's coached on a high school level, so you still have to have that relationship with being able to recruit kids and coach them up. So that would help him out.
Serious question here. Have you ever coached high school football?
No, I haven't.
So I have. And yeah, I can't think of anything that would translate at the next level.
But
I
mean, you just said that he can recruit.
Yeah, oh, he could recruit. I have no doubt he could recruit. I also think it would be a disaster on the field. And you hit one of the key points. What coaches does he know? You know, like who's his staff? Who's he being around? What is his philosophy? What is he going to do?
Well, first of all, Tyler, he's never done any of this
on any level.
We're talking about primetime Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
At Valor High School, you coach with a lot of former NFL players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he knows so many players that I'm sure he could call up Derrick Brooks and say, hey, listen, hey, you were standing out here at Florida State. Would you want to come back and coach linebackers?
Oh, I know. But as our both of our mutual former head coach once told me, the best players usually are the worst coaches. The marginal players. Mike Shanahan told me this. He did. He said, Tyler, I think you would be a great coach because you had to scratch, you had to claw, you had to just really grind it out and learn the nuances of the game and play with technicality. And the best players, they're terrible coaches. I'll never hire my best players.
Well, okay, here's a list of guys who are ex-players who went back to the alma mater to coach. How about Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech? David Shaw.
Quarterback, that's different.
So it has to be, if someone is going to be a head coach of a college, most likely an offensive-minded guy. Is that the idea?
No, I'm just saying, like, if you're taking a superstar at a position, generally speaking, quarterback is by far the best one to take him at because quarterbacks have to know everything in the game.
Well, I'll give you that. Also, you know, how about, you know, Jim Harbaugh? Kirby Smart, who was a defensive guy, I think he was a safety. He's now the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. He's found a way to make it happen. So if Kirby Smart can do it, Deion Sanders, just hire a great staff.
All right, well, we'll see if it actually happens.
Two.
Man, it was great to watch the Avalanche last night. I was watching Thursday Night Football, but I was also flipping back and forth with the Avalanche. And then Thursday Night Football ended, and there was about, I don't know, maybe another 10 minutes of the Avs game still ongoing. I watched as much of it as I possibly could, and it was an old-fashioned butt-whipping. I mean, holy cow, 9-4 at the Pepsi Center. You know, they've been on this 5-game losing streak, and wow. I mean, they looked like a great hockey team last night. Do you think that was enough to get them back on track?
Sometimes all it takes is one game, especially knowing that you are shorthanded, and I don't think Grubauer actually played in the match last night. But scoring was a problem on the first two lines for Bednar and during that losing time. They got a lot of production out of the first and second line, and Don Square, Giannis, what is it? How you pronounce his last name? Donskoy? Donskoy? Yeah, I think it's Giannis Donskoy. He actually was really impressive. Three goals last night. I mean, when we're talking about an offense that was struggling mightily during this losing streak. They were able to get it going. So that's all it takes is one game to start a winning streak. I said it before. Now, hopefully, I mean, you have some guys out. But this aids guys like Nathan MacKinnon, so maybe this is the start of something great.
You know what was so great about that game last night? I learned that we have uniforms that I'd never seen before because I haven't been able to watch them on TV. Those uniforms were awesome. Those were amazing.
One.
All right, man. We've had 2 days in a row now of national personalities talking about the exact same subject. And this time, it's a former Bronco, one that you're going to know very well, that says that John Elway should definitely try to bring in Cam Newton to be the quarterback this offseason.
He better than Tannehill. He better than Mariota. Yep. He better than Flacco. He's better than what they got in Denver. He's better than Trubisky and Chase Daniel. He's better than those. There are three teams right there.
Okay.
That if Cam Newton is on the open market, they should be first in line.
Would you take a shot?
Absolutely. I would take a shot.
And you know what?
Hell, I called John Elway in Denver. Who's running it? Hey, bro. Look
at
Cam.
Take a shot.
Do it.
Do it, says Skip.
Hey,
do
bro.
It.
Hey, take a look at Cam.
Hey, bro, John. Hey, John, bro. Sign this dude, bro.
Do you think that's how that conversation would actually go, where Shannon's actually calling up John and say, hey, bro, you need to take a look at Cam?
He might. I think Shannon would talk to anybody. I think he would call anybody, and yeah, I do.
Oh, man, just the idea of Cam coming to Denver. I don't know if that would be the right fit for the Denver Broncos at this time, knowing the type of offense. The better fit for Cam Newton at this point would be joining the Chicago Bears with Matt Nagy and looking at, you know, the college type of offense that he wants to implement, something similar to what Andy Reid is doing with Patrick Mahomes. But I don't see Scangarello changing his system to fit that of Cam Newton.
Well, guys, it is never too early for a mock draft, and CBS Sports just released their latest. You are not going to believe who they have the Broncos selecting. We'll talk about it coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
All right, Nick. If I asked you the most likely positions to get drafted in the top 10 by the Denver Broncos next year, what would you say?
I would say either quarterback or left tackle.
Okay. So would I. That sounds about right. So, with that being said, CBS Sports has released their latest mock draft. And I know we're way ahead of the game here, but these things are fun to track, because if you stay on top of them, and, you know, you can't just follow one. You got to follow them all. You got to start adding them all up and just kind of listening to the drum beats and trying to figure out where that sound is leading. Over time, they're actually relatively accurate. You know, not for specific teams, but the players that are trending up, that are trending down. And CBS just released theirs. They've got the Broncos selecting number 9 overall, and they've got us selecting wide receiver Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama. Can you believe that?
That is ridiculous. I mean, I guess they haven't watched any of the Broncos games this season to take a wide receiver. I know it sounds great. Okay, well, you can add another dynamic wide receiver opposite of Cortland Sutton, but the problem is you won't be able to get him the ball, because who's your quarterback and how are you protecting him? So to me, you have to go offensive line, number one.
Well, yeah, listen, O-line's fine, and that's certainly a need. Quarterback would be great as well. I would prefer quarterback. I would not be upset if they went offensive line, though. Certainly wouldn't be upset. That makes sense. Wide receiver, though, I'm like, holy cow. Clearly, it is a position of need. I'm not going to discount that. But if you're talking about priorities on a football team of where we're at and the needs that we have, I can't find a world in which we need a wide receiver number one overall. First off, we already have a number one guy. We got Cortland Sutton, who's playing like a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL right now, today. So we don't need a number one guy. We need a secondary guy. And you can get a number two wide receiver in rounds 3, rounds 4. I mean, you can find them all over the place. You don't have to spend that in round 1.
No, you don't have to. But just based on this report, let's just play a little game of hypotheticals.
All right.
And usually before the draft, teams have an opportunity to, I guess, shore up some positions on their team through free agency. And we know that Trent Williams, we've been talking about him a lot, he's having issues in Washington. So let's just say, playing this hypothetical game, the Broncos are able to get Trent Williams. Now, he is your new left tackle.
Well, he's still under contract, so we would have to trade for him.
Okay, so the Broncos have 2 number threes and 2 number fours in next year's draft. So let's just say they give up one of those number
one of those picks, draft picks in the third round to Washington for Trent Williams.
Sign me up for a third rounder? Oh, man. Sign me up.
That's right, because Washington, they want to get from underneath this whole issue. That is Trent Williams and what's going to probably be something that's going to go to arbitration because he's not receiving all his money for the 2019 season. So they get rid of him. He comes to Denver. Now he's slated as your left tackle. So now you go, if you go into the draft, you say, well, I'm already good in left tackle position and we are already set with Drew Lock. It's just that is with the belief that Drew Lock would play sometime this season and he performs well and the Broncos feel as though they don't have to go out and draft another quarterback. So, with that being said, then I can understand the decision to go and take a wide receiver in the first round if the hypotheticals that I just presented all come to fruition.
No.
No?
No.
I tried. I tried to sell it to you, but I guess I wasn't.
You did not sell that, but I do have to give credit where credit is due. And, Nick, you were the first person that I had heard say that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in this draft. And I disagree. I see two or three quarterbacks that are better than him as of right now, although I admit he is for sure on the rise. Well, interestingly enough, I never could have seen it happen in my world, but in this mock draft, they've got the Cincinnati Bengals selecting Joe Burrow number one overall ahead of any other quarterback, ahead of any other player, but of all the quarterbacks, he's going number one.
Well, that speaks volumes to where he's come from since last year. Last year didn't really put up, you know, great numbers in comparison to a guy like Tua or Herbert, but this season, I mean, he has LSU undefeated, you know, 5-0 in the SEC. Now they're facing off against Alabama, you know, tomorrow, and if he wins that game tomorrow against Alabama, I mean, I would dare to say he is, in fact, the number one quarterback prospect in 2020. Just based on his sheer athleticism, the things that he can do in the pocket, that quick release that reminds me of, you know, Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he is Tom Brady.
I know.
But he reminds me of Tom Brady. And then if you are able to go out, beat Bama, and then go on to the college football playoffs, and whether you win that or not, you still will have solidified yourself amongst the top quarterbacks. And, I mean, Zach Taylor, who was with Sean McVay with the Rams, with Jared Goff, he needs a quarterback.
Well, the craziest part about this entire mock draft, Joe Burrow going number one, that sounds crazy to me, but it's not even the craziest part. The craziest part is that they've got the Broncos selecting number nine. And the top eight picks, they've got two quarterbacks selected. And at number eight is when the second quarterback gets selected. And they've got the Tampa Bay Bucks at number eight selecting Tua Tagovailoa at number eight. We're at number nine. I'm going to tell you right now, if we are one pick away from Tua.
Don't say it.
And he gets picked right above us, one pick in front of us, we have failed as an organization.
So would you be failed. In favor of John Elway if Tua has slid that far to go up and try to get him?
Of course I would. What do you? I mean, no doubt about it, I would. I mean, are you kidding me? Tua, he checks every box right now. He can do it all. I've tried to convince myself that this guy is not going to work in the NFL. I did. I tried to hate on him, just like I tried to hate on Kyler Murray. I mean, I just couldn't wrap my mind around these guys being successful in the NFL. But they're all proving me wrong. And Tua, man, he can make all the throws. He plays in a system in which there is plenty of pro-style experience. I mean, look, you're one spot away from selecting your franchise quarterback. You would have utterly failed as an organization if you did not just give up everything you needed to go up one spot. Or even if you got, okay, I get it. Tampa's going to select a quarterback, so you got to get in front of Tampa. Okay, who's right in front of Tampa on this list?
Cleveland.
Do they need a quarterback?
Nope.
Right. So go get Cleveland's spot and go get your quarterback.
Okay, so that would mean if you move up to get Tua, then the whole Drew Lock project was a failure.
Yeah, that's correct.
That you're admitting openly that, hey, moving up to get Drew Lock with that second pick in the second round was a complete wash.
Correct.
Ah, I don't know if Elway is willing to admit that.
Hold up. For like the last week, I've been hearing you talk about how terrible Drew Lock is. I've been hearing you talk about how you don't even want to see him on the field. I've been hearing you talk about how he doesn't even deserve to be activated off the IR. And now all of a sudden, you're sitting at number nine, one spot away from being able to go get your franchise quarterback, and you don't want to do that?
Listen.
I can't connect those dots. You got to connect those dots for me because I don't see how that all makes sense.
Everything I've been telling you about Drew Lock, I've been getting that information from the organization and what they feel that Drew Lock is or isn't at this time. I have my own personal perspective.
Wait, hold on. Let me just be specific on that.
Okay.
Do you mean somebody in the organization is telling you that?
No.
Oh, okay. You're just collecting the information.
The information that's being put out there by, let's just say, John Elway. When you talk about quarterback, exactly. When you put out, you know, information that, well, I don't want to, you know, the ceiling to cave in on Drew Lock. That's telling me a lot as far as what you think about the guy that you moved up to get.
So,
and say that he's not ready.
So then wouldn't they go get their franchise quarterback? I mean, hold on. That doesn't connect.
Well, the reason
if that's the information that you're gathering,
right?
If you're reading the tea leaves and it's all adding up to them wanting to give up on Drew Lock, how in any world would you not do everything in your power to go get a quarterback?
I'm glad you asked, because right before the draft is free agency, and there are a couple of guys that are out there that could be excellent candidates, and one of those guys is Teddy Bridgewater. So if you go out and you sign Teddy Bridgewater, you give up that third-round pick to Washington, who accepts it, and they give you Trent Williams.
You want to pay 20 per for Teddy?
Hey, why not? I mean, what's the going rate right now for a starting quarterback?
20 per for a marginal starting quarterback, way more than that for an elite quarterback.
Okay, and I think based on the production that John Elway has seen from Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, and in these five games coming in for Drew Brees, he may be willing to do that, because now that saves you money to be able to go out and get other veterans that you can use to plug some of the deficient spots on your roster. I mean, it sounds really far-fetched, but I don't think that it is. If we really sit in and think about it, say, well, the team needs depth, they need more veteran leadership, and they need to plug some holes. Why not take that route?
All right, well, we'll talk more about it coming up here. Coming up next, we got Football at 4.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.